everyone. It's good to be with you. Glad to have everyone here, and especially those who are visiting with us. Happy New Year. This is a time where we celebrate the new year. And I guess when people think of New Year's, they think of fireworks, they think of staying up till midnight to watch the new year come in. At least if you're young, that's what you do. And people think of the new year as a time of a fresh start, a new beginning, a time of renewal, and a time for resolutions and assessing what has happened the last year, maybe things in your life or things in your behavior, things in your practice the previous year that you'd like to change in this upcoming year. And I do think that that is a good thing to do. That kind of assessment, that kind of evaluation is something which is good. And when you look at God and his dealings with ancient Israel, God especially saw that there was significance, and there was good reason to find significance in the beginning of the year. In Exodus chapter 12, in the midst of the instructions regarding the Passover celebration, the occasion when the Israelites would be brought out of Egyptian bondage. In verse 1, the text says, "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you.'" What God was doing for Israel was to set up a new religious calendar that would make that month when they came out of Egyptian bondage, came out of enslavement, and entered into their relationship with God, make that the beginning of their year. In the ancient Near Eastern world, the secular calendar that was used always celebrated the new year in the fall season. The month of Tishri was the name that was generally given to that, at least in the Jewish circles. But the time of year when the Israelites came out of Egyptian bondage, it was in the springtime, and it was in the month of Abib, or it would later come to be called Nisan. And what the Lord was saying here to Moses and Aaron is that as far as your religious calendar is concerned, it's going to be now different from the secular calendar that the world uses. I'm going to give you a new calendar so that this month, when I bring you out of Egyptian bondage, that's going to be the beginning of your new year. At least as far as this religious calendar was concerned. And so from that point on, the Israelites would always think of the new year beginning at that point in time when God had brought them out of slavery, when God had so blessed them in such a grand and glorious way. And the whole point with all of that is that God wanted them to make sure that they saw their relationship with him as the most important thing, as the most paramount thing in their lives. And as they would begin a new year and go through that whole concept of beginning and renewal and assessing the past and looking ahead toward the future, he wanted them to think about God and how he has blessed us and let that be in the forefront of their mind. That's something that we need to think about. Even though we, of course, don't have that same calendrical system that the Israelites were using, that God set up for them in the Law of Moses system, and we have this calendrical system that we're used to today, but it's still an occasion for us now to mark the beginning of a new year and to think about our lives and think about some things perhaps that we need to change, that we need to do better in, and the most important thing we need to think about is our relationship with God. And just like the Israelites needed to understand that point and why God so emphasized it to them, so we too need to understand that. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 and following, here's what the prophet of God said speaking on behalf of God, he said, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Each according to his conduct, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity may not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live." God wanted the Israelites to understand that they needed to make a change in their life spiritually. Throughout their history, they were not the kind of people that they should have been. And God wanted them to see the need. In fact, as each new year came about, to see the need to repent and make their lives right with Him. And we need to see the importance of that very thing ourselves. So I want to ask you this morning, this year, 2009, that we've just begun, this year, what do you need to work on? What is it in your life that you need to make some changes in? And I'm not talking about, though certainly, you know, we sometimes think, well, yeah, this new year I'm going to, you know, lose 10 pounds. Or I'm going to, you know, do this. I've always wanted to take a trip somewhere. You know, people make those kind of plans. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the most important thing possible, your relationship with God, and those things that relate to that. What do you need to work on this year in that regard? Are there some here who, as you think about your life, you know you haven't been right with God? You know there are things you need to change to make your life right with God? Is that not something you need to resolve to do? And to really think about that right now? Are there some of us here where our marriages are not what they should be? And this year, that's what we need to work on. To just resolve to make sure that I'm the best kind of spouse that I can be, and be concerned about your spouse and your responsibility, Turner, whether you're the man or woman. Is that something that you need to address? Then think about that now. Are there some things that you have always thought that you needed to do in your Christian growth that you just never have done? Maybe it's your own Bible study. Maybe it's being more dedicated in and more involved in those Bible classes. Maybe you have not really been attending, and most of our people attend our Bible classes very, very well. But there are just a handful that don't. Maybe I'm talking to you. I don't know. You know. Is this maybe the year you need to make a change? And realize that being a Christian really means you are a disciple of Jesus. You're a learner. You're a student. That's what that means. And you've got to learn God's Word. It's not just a matter of just doing as little as you can to just get by. And maybe that's how you thought in past years, but now you need to make some changes. Maybe that's what you need to work on. Maybe there's some things you're involved in that deep down in your heart of hearts, you know, it's not right. It's not good. Maybe there are some things that maybe other people don't know about, but you know, and the Lord knows. Is that something you need to change? Like Ezekiel said in the passage that we just looked at, it demands a new heart, a new spirit. And here as we enter into this new year, what better time to really give attention to that and have that new heart and that new spirit? I'll tell you what though, resolutions are easily broken. In fact, people laugh sometimes when you talk about New Year's resolutions. Because the first thing that people think about are the resolutions I made last year that I never fulfilled. And it's true that resolutions are easily broken. But let me tell you what, this resolution that we're talking about to make your life spiritually what it needs to be, that's something too important to just kind of dismiss as well. In fact, we need to think about the warning that John the Baptist gave as he was addressing those Jews who really in great numbers were flocking to him in the wilderness as he was baptizing Jews in the wilderness, as he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And they were just coming just in mass at one point. And John, we are told in Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, began saying to the crowds who were going out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" I might just kind of stop there and say, well, my goodness, John, why are you addressing the people like that? They're coming out to be baptized. You're commanding them to be baptized. They're coming out to do the very thing that you're asking them to do. And yet John greets them with, "You're a brood of vipers." And yet his whole point in all of this is there's repentance that is needed. This wrath to come is what you need to be fearful of, and I'm the one who is warning you about that, so don't just come out here and get dunked in water and think that's really all there is to it. He goes on to say, "Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Do you know what John's talking about? He's talking about people who make the claim, "Yeah, I'm going to repent." And they come up there and they get immersed. "Yeah, I'm going to repent." And then they go back home and they don't make any changes. He's talking about bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. It's easy to say, "Okay, I'm going to do better." It's easy to acknowledge what one has done in the past and make that resolution, "Okay, I'm going to do better." But those resolutions are easily broken. And when it comes to saying that we're going to serve God and I'm going to turn my life around, a lot of people say that. But they don't act on it. They never bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And so that's what we need to think about, and I want to ask you this question: why is it that people so often fail to do that? In fact, why do people so often fail to keep any of their New Year's resolutions? What's the problem there? Well, I'll just give you some that came to my mind. We talk big, but we let opportunities pass us by. We talk big, but we let the opportunities pass us by. Do you realize that this whole business about changing your life and serving God, or whatever the resolution is, but it certainly applies here to this ultimate one of changing your life and serving God, it really all boils down to that opportunity that you have at the moment. And what are you going to do with it? We're real big about talking big about things, but it finally demands that at this point in time, at this moment, in this circumstance that I'm faced with right now, what am I going to do? You know, I think sometimes we're like the batter who's kind of had a bad season, you know. So he said, "Well, you know, it's new season. I am really going to be a better hitter now." He steps up to the plate. "Okay, this season, boys, this is it. I'm really going to do good now. This is the one, boy, this year. I am ripped. Okay, this year, you know." There we go. I mean, do you know how you are a better hitter? You got to concentrate on that pitch right now that he's throwing right now. That's the pitch. And you got a constant, now if it were me, you know, I'd swing and then, you know, oh, here, pick it up. You know, that's about the best I'd probably do. But you got to concentrate on that pitch right there. It isn't a matter of saying, I'm going to be a better hitter. It's what are you going to do with that ball coming at you right now, right at that moment. And what we need to understand when we're talking about serving God and doing better, it isn't enough to just make that broad general statement. We can't deal in generics. You got to get specifics. And specifically at this moment, with this opportunity I have right now, what am I going to do? If your situation is that I have not obeyed the gospel and I need to obey the gospel, I know I've needed to, okay, well, here's your opportunity today. There's your pitch. What are you going to do? You say, well, I'm going to change. No, there's your opportunity today. You're going to obey the gospel today? Why let that one pass you by? Or if you're determined, okay, I'm going to do better in my church attendance. And I'm going to make sure that I'm coming to those Bible classes. I'm not just going to, you know, walk in for the worship service and have not got up an hour earlier to go to Bible class. No, I'm going to get up that hour earlier. Okay, well, then that next service, okay, that day, that's it. That's your opportunity. You're going to set that alarm clock and or not. You're just going to... You see, we talk big and we talk generics, but it's specifically that moment, that opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Are you trying to be a better husband? Okay, well, your opportunity then is today with your wife, and what are you going to do with that? You know, you have to get specific. And you have to look at the moment and what your opportunity is at the moment. And that's your pitch. That's what you got to focus on swinging at. Why do we fail to keep our resolutions? Well, it's because of the difficulty of the moment. You know, it's real easy for me to say, I've said this many times to my wife, yeah, boy, I tell you what, I need to lose 10 pounds, you know. She usually says, make that 15, you know. It's real easy for me to say that when I've just finished one of her delicious meals. When is it hard to fulfill that resolution? It's when, you know what, it's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm stay up till 1, 2, that's the kind of person I am. I'm hungry. I want something. That's when it's tough. Isn't that right? Everybody resolves when they're not in the moment of difficulty. It's when they're in the moment of difficulty, that's when it gets tough. Okay, well, that's what we need to recognize when it comes to serving God and making those changes that we've evaluated, that we've assessed. Okay, you've got to recognize, yes, at that moment, it is going to be difficult. It is. It is going to be difficult for you to do those things that you need to do. Say it's that temptation that you've fallen prey to so many times. Yeah, it's real easy at church when you're not being tempted with that to say, I'm going to do better. Of course, it's when you're in that moment and that's when the temptation's there. That's when it is difficult. But don't be shocked at that. Don't be surprised at that. And that's exactly the moment that most people just say, I'm going to ignore my resolution. But that's where this new spirit and this new heart comes into play that Ezekiel was talking about. And that's when we have to make that determination. Okay, here's the moment, and yes, it's difficult for me. Of course it's difficult for me. But now is where my words are either going to have real meaning, my words of resolution are going to have real meaning, or whether I was just talking, just flapping my gun. And that's what John the Baptist was talking about. That's when you got to bring forth those fruits in keeping with repentance. Why do we fail to keep our resolutions? Because we make excuses. And more excuses and more excuses. Well, I'm going to do better in my marriage as long as she'll do better. You know, but she didn't do better, so I don't have to. You know. Or, you know, reverse the sexes because it works both ways. Everybody makes resolutions they don't keep. Everybody says, it's not that big of a deal. We come up with a whole bunch of excuses. And that's our downfall. And the fact of the matter is, this is a new year. And it's time for a fresh start. And it's time to make that commitment that Ezekiel was talking about. It's the time to have that new heart and that new spirit and stop making excuses and take advantage of that opportunity that we're going to have right now and do something with it like we need to do. And so I want you to think about that as we enter into this new year. And like I said before, I don't know what you need to do. I have to evaluate myself. You have to evaluate you. What changes you need to make? Resolve. But don't just do what everybody else does, make that resolution, and then that's it. No. You make sure that you specifically look at those opportunities you have and do something with it, even when it's tough, even when it would be easy to make excuses. You have that new heart and that new spirit. And make that change now. Now's the time to do that. Is there someone here this morning that needs to respond in some way to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can we help you? Maybe this is that moment I was talking about for you to renew yourself. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Take advantage of it. While together we stand and sing, won't you come?